remain standing, please take your Bibles now. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians, right after the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 this morning. We'll read verses 4 through 7 responsively. I'll read verse number 4 and you'll join me on verse 5 all the way through verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things.
And let's pray this morning, Father. We sure do need you. Lord, today is a day that the world will set aside and think about love, or in many cases, just lust. But Lord, this is a day that we could live 365 days a year. I pray that you teach us from your word today what you truly mean by love. And Lord, thank you for your love to us. Thank you that you gave us the word of God. Thank you that you have given us the people of God and a place to meet. Thank you for your love. Help us as we investigate your word. Help us to take it to heart, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Keep your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to talk to you for a moment, and then we'll jump into the scriptures. I don't want you to worry. I have an 11-point outline this morning, but I hope I brought your lunch. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we commonly use the term, this is the chapter about love. The word charity and the word love are kind of an interchangeable type word. Charity is a little deeper form of love. We would say you give to your favorite charity. The word charity means love that is given, not expecting anything in return. And that's, by the way, what the real definition of love is. Love is defined by giving, not by getting. I am not against Valentine's Day, but it's not one of my favorite holidays. Say, preacher, I believe we're supposed to live this way 365 and a quarter days a year, not just one day a year. I don't see why we only want to live with love in view and caring about people one day a year. That's probably the biggest aversion I have to Valentine's Day. There are some people that this is the only day of the year that they do this. Did you know you could live this way every day? People will take one day to buy gifts, be nice to somebody, or extra nice to somebody, do extra things for somebody, and then they say, done for another year. I did my duty. Love is not to be rented or leased one day a year. Love is supposed to be something that we live continually. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. For some of you, this one's going to shock you. You also never see God command anyone in the Bible to look for love. He commands us to love. He doesn't say, look for somebody to love you. He said, I command you to love one another. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live love 365 and a quarter days a year than to just have it one day a year. You know, if you could have your birthday every day, that would be pretty neat, wouldn't it? You'd get a little tired of birthday cake and birthday candles. God doesn't want us to live love just one day a year. Now, I want to live God's way, and I want to love God's way. Love is a command. It's not something we do because we feel like it. Love is not a feeling of any kind. Say, well, how do I know if I love someone? If you have to ask that question, you don't love them. Love is not a feeling. Love is not, it has nothing to do with how you feel. Love is an action by your part, and it's not needed to have reciprocation. In other words, Brother Steve, I can love you whether you love me or not. Whether you like me or not, I can love you. Whether we agree or not, I can still love you. And I don't need to feel all warm and squishy. By the way, he doesn't make me feel all warm and squishy. And any man that does, take me out back and shoot me. Amen. But I don't have a feeling about it, but I love Brother Steve. Now, wait a minute. It's not a feeling. It's something that I have chosen by will to do. It is a command of God. When I used to work at Bible colleges, of course, that is the place where love runs rampant. It's kind of like being in the forest during rut. You got the bucks running around with their head down, bumping into everything, chasing the girls. Amen. And college is that way, and I would hear this question 100 times a year. Brother Bush, how do I know when I've met the right one? I'll give you the same advice my dad gave me. When you don't have to come ask me, we'll talk about it. When you can tell me you know, come see me. Say, that doesn't sound real romantic. No, but when I knocked a little lady over in the hallway of Bible college one day, and the next day she was there, I didn't hit her the second day, but we laughed about it. And the third day she was in the same spot, same time, and we began to talk. By the fourth day, I asked her out on a date. After the first date, I went back to my dorm room. I had page after page after page after page after page of things that I was looking for in a wife, tore them up, threw them in the trash can, told my roommate, that's the girl I'm going to marry, and 11 months later, we were engaged and been married to her 31 and a half years. It wasn't a matter of did I find her, it's who I chose to love. Now, listen to me very carefully here. How about we obey God and love others the way he says to love? Not the way we want to, but the way he says to. Let's not be like Cain and tell God how he has to accept our love. Well, that's just the way I am, preacher. Then change what you are. Don't get mad at me. How about you listen to God and quit telling God how he has to accept what you are?
That's good.
Let's use God's word and love and quit being concerned about how we are loved. If you're looking at this sermon and say, well, I wish so-and-so would love me that way, you missed the sermon. If you're saying, I wish somebody would do this for me, you're not loving, you're lusting somebody to come after you. That's not what God's talking about here. Love is not satisfied by what it gets. By the way, that's why people, they say, well, I'll buy a new car. I love this car. Isn't it amazing how fast they want to get another one? And another one? And another one? I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But I know people that are upside down in debt because they just had to have something. They wanted it. And we'll get into that in a little while here. How about we not worry about how we're loved, but how we love? I'm going to give you 11 statements from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to help you learn how to have Valentine's Day every day according to God. How to have Valentine's Day every day according to God. Number one, look at verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. Now look at me. Love suffers, but stays kind. Love suffers, but stays kind. Everybody listen and look at me for just a second. I know it's ugly, but hang in there. God never promised no suffering. For you to think you'll go through life without suffering, or anybody else will go through life without suffering, you are unjust and you're not real smart. Sin causes suffering. Quit blaming God for it. God did not create the suffering, sin does. God made man perfect in the Garden of Eden and made a perfect environment when we chose to sin. By the way, we're all sinners and we all choose to sin. We cause suffering to come upon ourselves. But God says love has patience while suffering long. Love has patience while suffering long. Lest you don't understand it, you ladies, you got married 10, 20, 30 years ago. You've been suffering a long time. That's called suffering long. There are people in this room, you have things that have come to you that you'll never get rid of physically. You have a disease. You have maybe a bone issue. You have cancer. You have this problem or that problem. And they have come to you and you'll never get rid of the problem. I'm going to make a statement here. Love does not expect others to look past their being cranky because of suffering. Love does not express being cranky while suffering. Did you get that? Just because you don't feel well does not give you an excuse to be an old grouch. Now, I understand hurting and I understand pain. And I understand that there are times where it's difficult not to express being upset. But my Bible says because you love somebody, you'll not express hurt. You'll be kind even though you're hurting. While you're suffering, you will express kindness. Brother Mike, your mama's on her way to the hospital or there, and a lot of unknowns right now, but he expressed love by being kind today to each and every person that got on that bus today and teaching Sunday school. Watch him shaking hands at the door. He say, what is that? While he's suffering, he's being kind. That's what it's about. While you suffer, you don't allow that heartache, you don't allow that burden, you don't allow that whatever pain it may be, wherever it may be, to get to the point where you quit being kind. Don't get mad at me. Just because you have a headache doesn't mean you got to be an old grouch. Just because you don't feel well doesn't give you an excuse to be upset with everybody. It may mean, listen to this, it may mean you have to work harder at being kind. Love does not complain about the suffering. Love seeks to love someone while they suffer. Let me say that again. Love does not complain about the suffering. Love seeks to do something for someone else while they suffer. You ladies, many, many, many of you got a gift today from a lady in our church. Can I tell you something? That lady was suffering while she did that. You don't know the pain. You don't know the suffering. You don't know what it is. But may I say this? They decided to love in spite of suffering. And I believe God has good things for that person because they loved while suffering. It doesn't mean a miracle's coming. Doesn't mean the suffering is going to end immediately. But they learned how to love while they suffer. It's not wrong to let people know when you have needs. I get that. But when you call everybody in the church every day to remind them how bad you're hurting, that's another thing. Love does not tell anyone that they're suffering. They just keep on doing what they're doing with kindness. I have about 30, 35 preachers that every Sunday morning between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, I text. I try to encourage them. I really do. I decided when I began pastoring this church 7.5 years ago that on Sunday morning, some of my dear friends were going to get an encouraging text, because you get kicked in the teeth by the devil enough, you might as well start your Sunday off right. And the thought, usually I get up long before they do, if I could shoot them a text and encourage them, well, it started with about 8 or 10, now I'm up to about 35 or so. And by the way, many, 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 many of those 35 that I keep in contact with, because it encouraged them, they started branching out and doing it on their own to others, and there are hundreds and hundreds of pastors and preachers around the country that are getting encouraged every Sunday morning just because somebody decided they didn't want to get up and be an old grouch. Now watch this for a second. I remember the week that my mother passed away. I was trying to encourage preachers on that Sunday morning. Some of them knew, but many of them didn't know my mother passed away. I got text after text after text from preachers, Brother Mike, that said, "Hey, I heard your mama passed away. How come you didn't tell me?" I said, "Because my job is to encourage you, not bring you down." I didn't just tell everybody. It's not because I was afraid of it. I truly wanted them to have the encouragement they needed and put my suffering aside to be kind while they were suffering on their own. Their problems were as big as mine. So love suffers long, but is kind. I will hurry through the next 10 a little faster. Number next, verse number 4 again. Charity envieth not, O my soul. Everybody look at me. That word envy means want. God says real love does not want for itself. It wants to give. Real love doesn't want something for self. Real love says, I want something for someone else. Love that wants love back is not love. God never commands you to look for love. He commands you to love. And when we love and we want somebody to love us a certain way, you will never get the love you're looking for. Young ladies, listen to me. If you are looking for a man to love you a certain way, you will never be satisfied in life. Because ain't no man thinks like a woman. Not a one. It takes years of training to get beat into practicing to do it right. Men and women don't think the same. In any way. Trust me. But yet God said man's incomplete without a woman. Now someday I'm going to get to heaven and find out what that really meant. But thank God for my wife. You see, love that wants to be loved back is not love. Remember when you were in grade school and you were, this is going way back, you know, everybody had to make their Valentine box. And you went to Valentine's, you know, you got to party and eat candy and things. That was great. But that, you know, you had that one boy or that one girl, depending on which gender you are and they are not. Back then, you weren't real excited when the same gender gave you a Valentine's card. You know, trucks and cars for the guys, and the warm, squishy ones that your mom made you give to the girls that didn't have cooties. But you remember that one that you gave, and then the first thing you wanted to do is find out how much candy you got in your box. You know, you're lifting that thing up, figure out what you got. It wasn't about you loving somebody else. It was what you were getting back. But often when you're a child, you'll make a statement like this. I'll love you if you love me. That's childish love. As your children are growing up, And usually it's in that wonderful stage of 2, 3, 4. They get mad at you and say, I don't love you anymore. Oh, that hurts. No, it doesn't. They're acting like a lost person does. Because they're lost. When my children said that, and they all three said that. Say, why? I can't believe your kids would say that. Why? They're no different than yours. But when they would say that, I would say, doesn't matter whether you love me, I love you. I love you enough to make you do what is right, whether you love yourself that much or not. See, not letting them get by with wrong is a way to love them. Aren't you glad that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he commanded his love towards us. He didn't command us. He commanded himself to love us in spite of our sin. You don't love somebody just because they're good. You love somebody because you're supposed to love them. Love that only accepts love the way it wants is not love. Can I tell you something? There might be a child today that tries to love you. Why don't you accept their expression of love and don't worry about what you get? My pastor, my mentor, one of my heroes, Brother Hiles. Oh, early in his ministry, as it began to grow, he made it to where everybody could express their love to him in a certain way. He loved Reese peanut butter cups. Well, you could get a Reese peanut butter cup at that time for about a quarter, you know, just the single ones. He said that way every child, every teenager, every adult could express their love and say, preacher, I love you, with a 25-cent Reese peanut butter cup, and he loved them. I'm not sure he loved them as much as it was a way for everybody to express their love to him. That man got millions of Reese peanut butter cups in his life. Millions. I remember taking him back to, picking him up at the hotel one day to take him to the airport when I was an assistant pastor and I wasn't working for him. And he had a bag full of Reese peanut butter cups that he had gotten on the 2 days he was with us. And he'd say, Brother Craig, I had a few of those, but if I eat these everywhere I go, you'd need three pickup trucks to carry me around. He'd say, take these home and share them with the kids. Just don't tell them where they came from. Yes, sir. My kids ate Reese peanut butter cups for weeks. They never knew where they came from. But everybody got to express their love. It didn't matter if it was a little bus kid with snotty nose and no shoes on. Didn't matter if it was a rich person. They were able to give him a Reese peanut butter cup and he'd say, they love me, and they did it with love. Love looks at the expression, not what was given. Love does not have a list, and if it's not on the list, it's not good enough to be love. You know, we need to learn how to accept love, whether it's what you want or not. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Love does not desire to have anything. It desires to give something. Real love does not envy, does not want, does not desire things for itself other than to give something to someone else. So, God says, love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Number three, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You say, what does that mean? Love does not brag or boast or lift itself up. I'm going to pick on the men. Fellas, just because you did something nice for your wife for Valentine's Day, you're not off the hook tomorrow. Look what I did for you. That's going to last a whole year. No, it ain't. You'd have been better off not doing anything today than to have that idea. in about 3 months and she's upset with you and you say, well, don't you remember what I got you back on Valentine's Day? Wrong answer. But preacher, it was expensive. It was nice. Okay, I'm glad you did. But you're supposed to express your love every day. You don't say, well, the famous statement, I told you I loved you at the altar when I changed my mind to let you know. Not that kind of mess. Love doesn't say, look at me. Look at how much I love you by what I do. If you have to tell everybody what you do to show your love, you probably didn't do it in love. If you have to tell everybody what you do to show them that you love them, you probably didn't love them. Love doesn't get up and say, huh, I could have done better than that. When your kids hand you a picture that they colored, you're supposed to say, thank you. Not say, well, I wish you'd have done it better. You could have done different colors. You could have. No, why do you want to criticize it? Why can't you just say thank you? Well, they ought to. I want them to be better. You'll get them to be better when you learn how to accept their expressions of love. I wish you could see all the colored pictures I get and little notes that are scribbled and different things. And I read each and every one of those from every child all the time. You say, why? Because they took the time to do it. I ought to take the time to at least look at it and say thank you. Love accepts the expression, not expecting perfection. Aren't you glad God accepts your weak I love yous to him? You think you could love an eternal God the right way? Love doesn't say, well, thanks for doing that, but you should have done it this way. Keep your stinking opinion to yourself. Be thankful somebody tried. Love doesn't make me the center. It's about what others want, not what I want. Love does not have to have it its own way. Let's be careful that, okay, ladies, listen to me. We have our blessing board. I just don't know what this person likes. It ought not be what their favorite things are necessarily. How about it be something simple and we're thankful for whatever simple things we get? You know, we need to learn to accept those simple expressions that somebody thought about me. We have gotten to the point that if it doesn't cost hundreds of dollars, that it's worthless. I'll be honest with you, some of the most important things in my life came because it was a written note. I have a file in my office of encouraging notes that people have written me through the years. Brother Mike, when I have a bad day, I pop that thing open and look at some of those notes, and I don't have a bad day very long. If they encouraged me once, it could encourage me again, amen? So love doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't puff itself up. Fellas, going around telling everybody what you did for your wife on Valentine's Day is puffing yourself up. And for you to remind her about it for the next 364 days isn't going to do any good. So love doesn't vaunt itself or puff itself up. Number next, verse number 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That word unseemly means by having to repeat it over and over and over again. This is going to hurt. Get your Band-Aids ready and your steel-toed shoes on. Love does not forget what it said it would do. It doesn't have to be reminded over and over and over and over and over again. Love takes the time to remember on its own what it's supposed to do. It loves enough to take the time to do whatever it takes to remember. Now, everybody listen to me. We live busy, complicated lives. It's amazing to me when it comes to making money or getting what you want, you're always there when you're supposed to be there. How about when it's time to do something for somebody else? How about when it's time to be somewhere for God because you love him? Everybody doing all right? How about when it's supposed to be time to read the Bible and you say, well, I'll do it later. I got other things to do. God, our time's not important. I'll catch up with you later. You see, love, real love, doesn't have to be reminded of their appointments. Doesn't have to be reminded what they promised someone to do. None of us are perfect. But I'll promise you, you haven't seen your preacher late to church. You haven't seen the preacher start church 20 minutes late because I didn't get here. If you have an appointment with me, I didn't forget about it. Say why? Because I love you enough to make it priority in my life. Now, you may have been late. You may not have been here. That's okay. That doesn't hurt me. I got plenty to keep me busy whether you're there or not. But at least I was there. Does that make sense? I'll love you and let you know I was there. See if we can reschedule. So love takes the time necessary, and it doesn't need beating their head over and over and over and over and over again. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not use the excuse, this is just the way I am, you're going to have to accept it. Change what you are. Why do we think it's so bad for Cain to have the attitude with God? God, if you don't like the way I want to be saved, too bad. But why do we live our life that way and how we express our love to one another? That was gone in the way of Cain. Quit telling everybody how they have to accept your faults. How about you change your faults? It's getting warm in here. Number five. Love seeketh not her own. Love doesn't have to be first on the list. You know that love doesn't even need to be on a list? Please don't take this the wrong way. I love my children. I love their spouses. I love my mother and father-in-law. I love my dad. My mama's in heaven. I love my family. I can love them even when they don't love me. I don't want anything from them. I want to help them. I know this is hard for some of you to believe. Not all of my family loves me the same way. Some of them, I'm not even sure, love me. I recently have gone through a battle with one of them. And I made the statement, we're going to have to agree to disagree and get along because we're family. We don't have to agree to be family. I made that very statement. I don't think they're a bad person. They disagree with me about something. That's fine. I wouldn't be critical of them. I wouldn't express it the way they did, nor did I in my response. I loved them in my response. Say, preacher, how are you gonna? I'm not the issue. You have to take you out of the equation. It's not about you, it's about somebody else. And when it comes to love, it's about somebody else. My wife has a little heart on it that's got my name on it. That she's wearing today. She got that when we were dating 32, 33 years ago. She still has that crazy thing. She pulls it out on Valentine's, around Valentine's Day every year and wears it. Last week at the Valentine banquet, she wore it. I saw that she had it on. I said, you still have that crazy thing? She said, yeah. I said, I love it. If she lost it or threw it away, my life wouldn't change, but it sure did mean something to me that she still wears it after all these years. You see, love doesn't seek its own. Love does not do something to get what they want out of somebody else. Love doesn't say, I'm going to do this so that I get this back. No, love says, I'm going to do this whether I get anything back or not. Love doesn't have an agenda attached to it that if you don't get what you want, you got your feelings hurt. Love's agenda is about somebody else getting what they want, not what you get. Love does not live for their own pleasure. It lives to give others what they want and what others need. By the way, that's why a mother can love a newborn baby. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. But there's not much in life uglier than a brand new baby. Pink, wiggly, is all they can do is eat, cry, and blow exhaust. And usually it both ends at the same time. They really can't do anything. You know, fellas, they don't play football. They don't play fetch. They don't do nothing. But wait a minute. Why does a mother love an infant so deeply? Because that infant's life is determined by how much a mother gives life to it. And in the giving of life, it's not about what mom needs or wants. It's about what the baby needs. That's why at 2 o'clock in the morning when it screams, you get up and feed it. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get up and change it. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, you get up and feed it again. And for the first 6 weeks, you look like death warmed over so that your baby can live. I get it. But that's why you love that child so deeply. Because you've given it what it needed, not what you wanted. You weren't the issue, the child was, and you gave them all that they needed. By the way, the older they get, the less you need to be giving them and teach them to give to others. You ought not have 13-year-olds where you got to get up in the middle of the night and get them a drink of water. You ought not have 33-year-olds living in your house because they can't get a job to support themselves. Ouch. Moving on. Mm-hmm. Hit that one hard, didn't we? Love doesn't look to be served and get what they want first. It looks to serve others, and whether they get anything or not, that's immaterial. So, love does not seek its own. Number 6, love is not easily provoked. Okay, now we're going to meddle. The word provoke means sharp attitude or sharp speech, stirred up in emotions easily. Preacher's version of easily provoked, quit poking the bear. Don't try to poke somebody to get them riled up. Love does not snap back emotionally. Okay, everybody look at me. I love you. Love doesn't fire back when fired upon. I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I have a family member who doesn't see life the way I do and kind of fired off a few things at me. I waited 9 days and prayed for 9 days before I wrote a response. Then I ran my response through 3 people to make sure that my response was not fleshly. I didn't show the other 8 letters I wrote when I was fleshly. Threw them all away. Matter of fact, I wouldn't write for days. But after 9 days of prayer, so I knew my attitude was right, I finally started. And I wrote my response, listen to this, not in reaction, but by action, because I love that person. I didn't say everything I wanted to say. Trust me. There was many things left unsaid. Why? Because all it's going to do is stir emotion. Why provoke it? Why easily poke the bear to make him upset? Fellas, you know what it takes to get her upset. Why do you keep doing it? Well, she just needs to get over it. How about you keep your big mouth shut and quit saying it? It'll solve the whole problem. Love, listen to this statement. I love this. Love absorbs the heated emotions like a potholder and carefully can handle the hot situation without getting burned. How about you decide to grab the hot pan with the potholder instead of screaming every time because you reach your hand into a hot pan? How about you love enough to where you can insulate it and be able to handle the situation? Instead of getting mad because that thing's hot. Well, dummy, it's on the stove. What do you think? Love chooses to absorb those heated emotions and not let it affect the situation. In other words, love chooses not to get in a yelling match. My wife and I have been married 31 and a half years. We have disagreed countless times. But we've never raised our voices at each other. Not one time. Not one time. Do we disagree? Regularly. Especially when we're playing games and she thinks I'm cheating. Josh cheats, but I don't. and Ruth Ann, whoo, she's vicious. But love absorbs that heat and doesn't react. It chooses how it will respond. Instead of letting your little feelings get hurt all the time, how about you grow up and act like a real person? Number 7. The Bible says, love thinketh no evil. The word evil there means evil conspiracy or trying to injure another person's reputation or character. Love doesn't gossip. If you love somebody, why are you going to tell everybody how bad they are? Everybody listen to me very carefully. Everybody look at me for a second. About once a month I say this. That's why this church loves the way it does, because if one of our young people does something wrong or somebody in our church does something wrong, I'm not going to trot you up here in front of everybody and tell everybody what you did. Say why? Number one, you're not God. You can't forgive them. Number two, what do you need to know that's wrong in their life? Before you judge them, how about we trot you up here and tell everybody what you've done in your life? That's the craziest, weirdest thing I've ever heard. I deal with more heartache people because they were disciplined in church. All that is a bunch of long-nosed Pharisees wanting to stick their finger in your face and tell everybody how bad you are, and they're no better than you are. I get it. You're looking at another sinner. I'm no better sinner than anybody else in this room. I have a different job, but I will protect you. I'll protect your reputation. And do me a favor, don't gossip, or I'm going to expose it and make you mad. This altar's big enough to cover your tongue. And if not, we'll open the door and let you roll it right out in the yard. Keep your mouth shut about everybody else. You don't love somebody. Listen to this. Gossip requires an ear as well. You don't love somebody by listening to them talk negative about somebody. There is an off button on the phone. I hang up on people that start talking. I'll warn them, say, look, we're not going there. Well, we preacher, you got, no, I don't need to know that. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. No, you're not. Click. I won't listen to it. Boy, that's good stuff. Love does not seek information that is not theirs to have. When I was a kid, it's called quit sticking your nose in everybody else's business. It's probably not politically correct anymore, but that's why I said back in my day as a child, that's what it was called. Parents, did you know there's things your children don't need to know? So quit telling them everything. There are some things that happen around you with families that your children know. How about you protect them? They don't need to know all the negative stuff. If I knew my kids were invited to go somewhere and I knew it wasn't best for them, I didn't sit down and tell them all the reasons why they weren't going there. Because I would have to ruin the reputation of somebody else to my children to do so. I would just say, you're not going this time. They didn't need to know all the reasoning why. I was protecting somebody. By the way, just because they didn't show up didn't mean I hate you. Sometimes there were other things. I'm going to make a statement here. I don't tell my wife everything. My wife is not my assistant pastor. You know, my wife doesn't find out the negative things about our church any sooner than anybody else does. Now, if I have an appointment with a lady in our church or something, I'll let my wife know that day, look, I got a couple appointments today, one's with so-and-so or so-and-so, but I don't tell her what it's about. I don't go home and tell her what it's about. Say, why? Why do I want to drag my wife into it? When I go home, I want her to pick me up, not be depressed with me. Everybody doing okay? Try it sometime. Have an appointment with me and then go talk to my wife and see if I've told her. Answer is no. I'm not trying to hide anything from her, but I'm not going to share with her your negative. Now, if somebody's sick or something, I'll say, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. They've got a sickness or something like that. But when it comes to problems in your life, she doesn't know about those things. You say, why, preacher? None of her business. She's not the pastor of the church. I am. She's not the assistant pastor of the church. He is. And most of the time, he doesn't know those things. Everybody doing all right? That's called thinking no evil. Love does not, by the way, did you know bosses don't tell their employees everything? Did you know the boss doesn't have to tell you any reason as to why? Just do it. Quit getting upset that you don't know all the reasons. Keep your nose where it belongs. Love does not try to destroy by making others less than themselves. If you have to step on somebody to get above them, guess what? You didn't do it God's way. Number 8, I got to hurry. Love rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Iniquity means gross injustice or, in other words, we are not to be happy when somebody we're not to be happy when somebody that has been unjust with us gets judged or suffers. Love seeks truth, not revenge. Let me say that again. Love seeks truth, not revenge. In the last 10 years, I'll make it pretty broad. I had someone who attacked my wife and I and my family. They went through a heartache. My wife and I did something nice for that family. Behind the scenes. I did let them know who did it, but it wasn't done in public view. It was done in private. You know, Brother Josh, I saw that person many, many weeks after that. Happened to be out and about and bumped into him. I thought, uh-oh. That person who one time had attacked me came up and hugged my wife, reached their hand out to shake my hand, and said, thank you. We didn't talk about the attack. I asked them how they were. I asked them if there were anything we could do to help them. And we loved them. We didn't talk about the negative. You see, Love doesn't seek revenge, it seeks to help somebody. Did you know your enemy hurts too? Did you know people who have made bad mistakes in their life hurt too? Well, that's their fault. They made the mistake. You don't know how to love them. Love does not enjoy seeing someone suffer. Love can love those who hated them because they refused to be unjust. I don't always feel like loving my enemies, but I realize my enemies are people too, and they need love. Number 9, love beareth all things. That word beareth means cover with silence. Love doesn't blab all over town everything it knows. Love doesn't... Come on up here for a second. I love him. Let's say Brother Mike came to me and shared some difficulties in his life. And, you know, he got thrown in jail while he's on vacation. Miss Arlene was drunk. And you know, these are lies, all right? Illustration only. But let's say, I'm not going there. But let's say he confides in me things like that. I love him. I love his dear wife. But if I go to him and say, Brother Josh, I got to just tell you some things. I got to get it off my chest. I need a sounding board. I don't love him because of what I said about them. And I don't love them because I told him. But wait a minute. I love him. I love Mike and Arlene. So I'll bear it. I'll carry it with silence so I can love them and love him and love you. That's what God says. Have a seat. Love means, so what? They made a mistake. They can be helped. Let's help them carry the load. Love does not only seek information. Let me say that. Love doesn't seek information that's not theirs to know. But if it has information, it doesn't share it with anybody else. I don't go talking to Brother Myers to find out what bad Mrs. Myers has done. Because I don't want him to come to church with knots on his head. wait a minute. I don't seek information that's not mine to know. But if I know information, I'm not going to tell everybody either because it's my job to bear. By the way, we're to bear each other's burdens that way. Love doesn't have to just tell somebody. Well, I just got to tell somebody something I know. People like that, there's a little red button on your phone. You hit it real quick. I'm done. I just got to tell somebody, preacher. Is it good? No. Then call somebody else. I'm not going to listen. Now, if you have a need, you've been to the doctor and you got bad news, call me. I'll help you. But I'm talking about something that isn't that way. You all know what I'm talking about. Number 10. Love hopeth all things. Love has the confidence or trust of others to where they'll confide in you. Love gives hope to others. It doesn't mean love hopes for others. It means love has the confidence to where people will come to you to get hope. In other words, you're not going to take their feelings, their emotions, and their dreams and smash them. Love does not stomp on people and then get upset that you don't trust them. You start stomping on people and then get upset because they don't trust you. I wouldn't trust you either. You know, if somebody's going to step on your foot every time they walk by you, do you think eventually you're going to learn to get out of the way? And then when you do get out of the way, Don't get upset because somebody got out of your way because you stomp on them every time you walk by them. Boy, that's good stuff. Love does not live by good intentions. Love lives by good actions. Well, I didn't mean to hurt them. So that ought to, by the way, that's like Democrats saying, well, we love you because we care. We care. Okay, what do you care about? Yourself? Nancy Pelosi doesn't care about America. She wants to take down the wall at our border to protect our borders, but she's for building a wall around the Capitol to protect her office. And she really cares, doesn't she? Love doesn't live by good intentions. It lives by good action. Number 10, love endures all things. I've got to hurry. The word endure means remain, preserve, or have fortitude. Love never gives up. Love does not give up even when the object of the love has given up. Let me put it in terms that I try to live. Love's got one more get up than you have knocked down. Love does not break the law, but it'll help those that did get back up. I'm for helping the lost drunk get saved. But listen to this. When somebody who is saved gets drunk, I'm for helping them up too. Did you hear that? Some of you only have enough love to see somebody get saved, but if somebody who is saved messes up, you'll treat them with less respect, less kindness, less love than some lost person who you're trying to get saved. No, we're supposed to help them up. We're supposed to love them even when they make mistakes. Church is not a place for perfect people. If so, they're empty. You see, love is there to help someone back up. Endureth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things. I got to finish. Can I say something? You want to have Valentine's every day of the year? I just gave you 11 things in the scriptures to show you how God said you're supposed to live. And you could live with Valentine's Day every year, every day of the year. I didn't say you'd be perfect. By the way, I'm not the perfect example of it. He is. God is. So, God does not command you to be loved. God commands you to love. Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. And God gave us 11 statements in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, 4 through 8, to show us how we could do this in every day of our life. How about we learn to love somebody else? Love is not a feeling. It's not getting all warm and squishy and getting tingly. You can get tingly feelings and sometimes bad things happen. Love is not a feeling. It is an act of the will to do something for someone else. Not to get, to give. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say preacher? If I die today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores of hands. You may put them down.